It's about Jesus, right? It's about Jesus, okay? All right, if you would stand this morning, we'll have a short little time here. I say short, but you never know, I may carry on. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to talk about, I always like to look at some of the Bible characters, and these are probably some of my favorite, and it's very applicable for us today. The three, we don't even know that there were three. Wise men, could have been a wise lady in there. The Bible says wise men, but Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be verses 1 through 12. So let's read that together. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means least among the rulers of Judah, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."' When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, this morning for our kids. God, I thank you for them performing this play and singing their voices to you, Lord, in worship of you. And Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for the hard work they put into this, Lord. I know you are honored this morning. And so be with us as we look at your word today. There's a lot of things in these verses, Lord, that are very applicable for us today. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll apply them to our lives. We'll trust in you, God, and you'll get the praise, glory, and honor. It's in your name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I love this week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. We celebrate Christmas. I love all the different characters in the Bible. And in this scene here, which those kids did a great job displaying. But I want to talk about these three that we don't even know for sure if there were three. We say three because they offered three gifts, but it could have been more. We don't know, but we're going to talk about the wise men. We think also, there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot of mystery here. We think they were astrologers because they did look at the stars and were told about the birth. But we don't know for sure how many there were, but the whole city of Jerusalem was stirred up when these men came in. We also pretty much know for sure that it wasn't the exact time of Jesus' birth that they came. We think it was approximately 3 years later. So it wasn't, we put it in the manger scene because it's a part of him being born, but it was approximately 3 years later when they come. But where did they come from exactly? Yeah, we aren't for sure. We're not for sure. Somewhere from the east. We sometimes speculate they were kings of the Orient. We do know, though, and this is a big thing that's not mentioned in the text, but it's there, is that they were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And so this is a great picture of that Jesus is going to be for everyone, not just the Jews, but for the Gentiles too. And it's a picture that he came in as the Savior of the world. But a whole lot of stuff we don't know, like how long did they travel? How long did that take? We don't know. Probably a while, but we don't know. We think he was a few years old. Well, don't know really anything about the trip, about where they stayed or what they did or what happened in Jerusalem, other than the whole city was stirred up. And so just they come in this mystery to worship Jesus, and as soon as they're there, they worship him, and then they're gone. And we don't know anything else about them. So there's a whole lot we don't know, but we can look at this text and see some things. And one of the first one important one that I think and applies to us today is when they left on this trip to go see Jesus, that took something that every single person that we see interact with Jesus or he calls into ministry, we see it through the Old Testament. This was absolutely a journey of faith. This was a mission of faith. They were putting their faith and trust that they were stepping out into an unknown. If they're not for sure what they're going to do, they know they're worshiping the future king, but they step out. And they ask this question, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." It made me think, like, they take this long trip, And what would cause someone to do that? I mean, I know in those days they couldn't just hop on a plane and go somewhere. This is a hard journey. This took a lot of work to do. What would cause them to leave their comforts of their home? Well, a lot of crazy things can cause people to leave home and travel. I don't know if you guys like to watch about history at all or any like Westerns, but I love like Westerns and I love history about Westerns. When people would travel across the West, and it was a hard journey. They would leave out east and they were embarking. The California Gold Rush comes to mind. People would go all the way across the country looking for gold. It was dangerous. There were Native Americans that would attack them. I mean, it's a dangerous trip. There's a lot of reasons why people leave. Wealth, love. People will leave for relationships and love. They'll travel on journeys and do crazy things over that. But obviously one of faith also. Faith, our faith and our trust will cause us to step out and do things that maybe we wouldn't normally do. But what a probing question this is. And I think one that we can ask ourselves is, where is he? Where is this future king? And I'm sure they didn't even know. They had saw this star, that there was evidence that it was real. Now they're going to step out in faith and go find him. And that is absolutely a step out in faith. They knew he was alive. They knew he existed. But now they got to find him. Where is he at? And so they're literally willing to risk everything to go in search of Jesus. They're willing to leave the safety of their homes. They're going on a far journey. And like I said, it was dangerous in the 1800s here. It was very dangerous then. Jesus even told stories of traveling the Good Samaritan, that there were robbers and there were people on the road as you're traveling. It was a very vulnerable time for people when they traveled. And so they're willing to do this. They're not for sure where they're going. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how far it is. We're not even for sure we're going to know when we get there. All they know is this whole journey of these guys are taking is a step of faith. I don't know about you, but I plan stuff out. When I go somewhere, I usually plan out to the T where we're going to go. I'm usually not one that just jumps in the car and takes off across the country, not having a hotel room booked somewhere, not knowing where I'm going to stop. I kind of plan it out. These guys didn't do that. It was totally a mission of faith. They were stepping out in faith, and they knew that when they leave, they were going to worship Jesus. But I think of that. I think of that stepping out in faith and going on a journey or stepping out in faith for Christ. And I think we see that all through the Bible. Think about the early Israelites. They didn't know where they were going. They were stepping out in faith. When Abraham, think of Abraham, how he had to step out in faith. Noah, I think of Noah. Noah was commanded to build an ark. Hadn't even rained at that point. But yet, God, you want me to build this big boat, this massive ark, and there's going to be a flood? All of those things. And that took a whole lot of years. I believe it was 100 years, if my memory serves me right, that Noah worked on this boat without it raining. Well, people are ridiculing him. I think of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached. Nobody listened to him. Nobody would listen. So they had to step out in faith. Look at the New Testament. Think about the disciples of Jesus, Peter and Andrew and John. What are they? They're fishermen. And Jesus says, come follow me and be fishers of men. And they immediately drop everything they're doing and go to follow Jesus. Think about how crazy and insane that sounds, though. Like even the neighbors of the wise men. If you're asking the neighbors are like, hey, where are you going? Like, we don't know. We're not for sure. That's nuts. Are you insane? Yeah, they're not out of their minds. They're not insane. What are they? They have faith. They have faith. That causes us to step out. Everybody here is going to be on some type of journey or faith. Are you going to step out and trust the Lord Jesus? Are you going to do what God wants you to do? I think of my own life and even bringing me here to Crossbridge 10 years ago. It takes faith to step out. I think of Ace and the worship team. He had a church in his hometown that he was comfortable at. God made him step out in faith to come be our worship leader. I think of Mike. Tons of examples in here where you have to step out in faith. You have to step out in trust. I think, guys, it's impossible. The Bible even says it. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. You got to trust in him. You got to step out. Anybody who wants to approach God, we have to believe that he exists. That's the first thing. You got to put your faith in that he exists. And then you know what? You're going to respond and you're going to step out in faith. You're going to seek him. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. Maybe for the first time today, you just need to step out in faith. You need to acknowledge that there's no way. I think of this, guys. Either Jesus is who he said he was. He's either God in flesh who lived a perfect life that we're celebrating his birth, or it's the craziest fraud in the history of the world. It can't be both. I mean, it's either one or the other. There's no middle ground there. What do you believe about Jesus? I look around our world and I go, I don't know how anybody could be an atheist. How can you go to the beach and look at the beach or go to the mountains? If you've never been to Glacier National Park, I encourage you, drive to Montana or fly to Montana, go to Glacier National Park. You can't drive through Glacier National Park and think that that happened by just an accident. There's no way. I look around at creation and think, man, there's a God. Now, who is that God? You got to start searching. Start looking. Who is God? It's the most important question we can answer. But I think of my fellow brothers and sisters who have stepped out in faith. I think of our missionaries that we have hired at this church that have left the comforts of the greatest country, the greatest nation in the history of the world, and stepped out in faith to go share the gospel with a lost and dying world. And many of them live in places that are just deplorable, really. They don't have anything. The living conditions are horrible, but yet they're stepping out in faith. They're stepping out in faith. We've had millions of people, followers of Christ, do that since Jesus was around. It's amazing. Now, where are you at, though, with this? I don't know where God is leading my brothers and sisters today, but where is he leading you to step out in faith in this new year? What has he been leading you to do that you've been putting off and haven't been doing? And maybe it's joining the worship team. Maybe you can sing, unlike me, and you need to put that gift to use. Maybe it's serving in a local body of believers, getting it plugged into a church. It might be this morning that the Lord is just urging you in faith to trust in him for salvation, to put your faith and trust in him. I think there's no better time of year we're celebrating the birth of a Savior for you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he left heaven. He left heaven perfect to come to a sinful, fallen world to live and die for us. What else is this? What else do I see in here? What was the point of them going? What's the point of them going on this journey? This is one of what? Worship. They're going to worship Jesus. And they brought gifts. The Bible says gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there's a whole lot of things, a lot of symbolism with these gifts. Let's start with gold. What does gold represent in the Bible and still today? Wealth. Wealth. It's a gift for a king. And Jesus was who? The King of Kings. In 1 Kings 10, 14 through 21, it starts describing the wealthiest man who ever lived. And that was King Solomon. We've been talking about this in our discipleship class. And doing some calculations, his net worth, if you look at King Solomon's net worth in today's money, it was almost $3 trillion. There's never been a trillionaire except for King Solomon. He was the wealthiest man who ever lived. The next closest was John D. Rockefeller, about $700 million. That's it. Never been a trillionaire besides King Solomon. The word gold in that text describing, the word gold is used 9 times in the text describing King Solomon's wealth. So it's a gift that's fit for a king. That's one of the reasons it was given. The wealth of who Jesus was. Frankincense, what is that? It comes from a sap of a tree. It was dried, it was hardened, and it was used as incense to worship God with. So what do we see here? We see that gift for Jesus' deity of who he was. His priesthood, that he is the high priest in heaven interceding on our behalf. It was a gift. Jesus was the Son of God. Myrrh, it's the other gift they brought. What is it? It's a fragrant perfume. It was used to anoint the dead and embalming or to preserve them. Why? This is a gift because Jesus was going to be what? The sacrificial lamb. He was going to go die on the cross for us. Worship always involves a sacrifice. These men sacrificed. These wise men traveling, they sacrificed. These gifts were not cheap gifts. They had to travel a long ways. They probably, because the whole city of Jerusalem was stirred up, there was probably a lot of people with them. It was hard. There was a price. There was a price to be paid for their worship. They had to give themselves to this journey. Remember, traveling wasn't easy. It was uncomfortable. Dangerous. They had to sacrifice. When I think of sacrifice and worship, I always go to this text. I think of 2 Samuel chapter 24. King David had sinned, and he had taken a census of the nation of Israel, and God was punishing him. You think, why was it a sin for him to count people? Well, he was gathering to see how many troops he had. He was wanting to see, hey, do I have enough troops to go into battle instead of doing what? Trusting God. It wasn't about the number of troops. It was about, am I going to trust God? And so he had sinned by taking this census. And he knew, I need to offer a sacrifice to God for him to forgive me. So in chapter 24, David, he's going to build an altar. And he's going to offer a sacrifice on it. And he goes to buy some land. And the owner, seeing it's King David, just said, hey, King David, I'll just give you the land. You don't need to buy it from me. It'd be my honor to give you the land for you to use this for. And David responds with something I think is just amazing. It's in 2 Samuel 24, 24. He says this, and I think we should think about this. I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. He wanted his worship to mean something. He wanted to be invested in it. Well, how does that translate to us today? How does our worship? Romans says it. The book of Romans says it in the New Testament. Romans 12, 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If we truly worship, it's sacrificing what? Self. It's sacrificing our desires. What we want out of life to say, God, I'm going to worship you. Listen, when you become a follower of Christ, it radically changes your life. And it's going to cost you. It may cost you relationships in this world. It's going to cost you. But the greatest gift that you can give, we love giving gifts on Christmas. I know the kids love getting them, and we're trying to teach them to give. I don't know if you love to give. I love giving gifts on Christmas. I love being able to get stuff. I always get in trouble because I told you guys that last week. I get something, Selena, when I'm not supposed to, because we tell each other we're not supposed to get each other for Christmas, and I always do and get in trouble. But I like doing that. I like being able to give a gift. You know the greatest gift you can give God this morning is you say, God, I'm not in control anymore. I want to die to my desires because I want to live for you. I want to put my faith and trust in you. Hey, you even being here this morning shows a sacrifice. There's times, I mean, if I'm being honest, I love coming and worshiping, but there's other things you could be doing on a Sunday morning. I mean, there's other things you'd be doing. So you had to get up this morning. You had to get dressed. You had to get ready to come in here. You had to be ready to sing. Maybe you had to get gas in your car. We have an opportunity to give and worship when we give back to God. To the expenses of the church building, maintaining that. I've already told you about some of the upgrades we're doing. When you put your offering in, you're supporting God's mission around the world. We have missionaries all over on a local level around the world. We just sent the youth. The youth went to camp. They go to camp every summer. So there's things you can, so that's a sacrifice. I mean, that's a sacrifice. But here's the thing. He wants your heart. God wants your heart. He wants your attention 24/7. And the question we have to ask, am I willing to give him that? These wise men are a great example. They took a long journey. It was a journey of faith. It was a journey of sacrifice, of worship. God wants your heart. He wants you. Am I willing to give him my best? Am I willing to go on a spiritual journey to worship him? Am I willing, church, to get out of my comfort zone for Christ? Am I willing to step out? These wise men were. Are we? Here's the last thing. Last thing I'm going to cover. I love that these wise men go and they meet with King Herod. They meet with King Herod. King Herod wants them to come in and they meet with him. And I don't know what the whole conversation was. We know that Herod was lying to them. How do we know that? Because just later on in this, in verse 13, Mary and Joseph have to leave and go to Egypt. Why? Because King Herod didn't want anybody else to be king. And so he sent people to Bethlehem. He sent people to do what? Kill all the baby boys 3 years old and younger. King Herod had ill intent. He didn't want Jesus to be there. So what happened with these wise men? They met with King Herod. And then in verse 12 it says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. So they step out in faith to go worship this new king. They take a long journey. They sacrifice to do this. We don't know how long, but like it travels slow. I mean, you think riding a horse, you can't just run a horse real, real hard all day. I don't know how, I didn't look it up, but I don't know how long it would take to go from New York to California on horseback, but I'm sure a long time. I'm sure a number of months. So I don't know how far their journey was, but it wasn't like they were locals, because when these guys came in, everybody knew. They were from a distant land, so it took a long way to get there. So they had to sacrifice to go on this trip. It was dangerous. Now when they come and worship Jesus as the King of Kings, isn't it interesting that they couldn't go back the same way they came? Man, you think of that, and I think, when we have stepped out in faith, when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, you never can go back the same way you went. You're never the same. Your life is changed. That's the same fact today with the wise men to today. Once you meet God, you're not the same. An encounter with God changes things. I think in the Bible of the stories of people meeting God. I think of Jacob wrestling with God. What happened with Jacob? He never walked the same the rest of his life. Your life is different. Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah is an amazing book at Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah steps into the presence of God. And what does he say? Woe to me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah saw Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, sitting on the throne. He was never the same. In the book of Job, another great book, he questions God over and over concerning his suffering. God shows up, and Job says, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, I will not answer twice, I will not proceed." You step into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never the same. Your life is radically going to be changed. I think that's some reason why sometimes people don't want to step into His presence. They know the truth. They can read it. It's plain to them by looking outside that there's a Creator, that there's a God. But yet, I know God, that if I come to faith in you and I put my faith and trust in you and I give you my life, you're going to change me. And I don't want that. I want to be my own God. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be who I want to be. I promise you today, if you step out in faith and you believe in Jesus, you aren't going to be the same. Your life is going to be radically different. You will look at Christmas different. You'll look at Easter different. You'll look at Good Friday different. You will look at people different. You will have a burning desire in your heart to sacrifice yourself to live for the one who sacrificed everything for you. That's faith. That's worship. Job met God. He was a changed man. He was changed. He was different. That's what happens. That's what happened with these wise men. They encountered Jesus. They were changed. An angel warned them, don't go back to Herod. What'd they do? Stepped out again in what? Faith. They listened. They were changed. They couldn't go back the same way they came. They were changed. When you encounter Christ, you're going to be changed. It's Christmas time. We hear this story. These kids acted out. Why were they wise, though? They were called wise men. Why? Well, I think the story answers for itself. They stepped out in faith. They had faith. They trusted. They were wise because they worshiped. They went and worshiped the Lord Jesus, and they were changed forever. All because of what? This little child who became our Lord and Savior, who was our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Now, here's my question. I know. What about you? It's Christmas time. What about you? Are you looking for change in your life? We talked last week about how people try to fill their lives up with stuff to bring them joy. And it can never, never, never replace. It's such a cliche. I brought some discipleship. It's such a cliche Christianese kind of thing. That when you say there's a hole in your heart that over Jesus, only Jesus can fill. That's good Christianese, I call it, right? But it's true. It's true Christianese. You're born with a sin nature. You have a void in your life that the world will say, fill up with stuff. I'm telling you this morning, it's never going to get full. People try to fill it up with alcohol, with drugs, with relationships, all sorts of stuff. with money, with possessions. The only thing that can fill that void is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you know what happens? You have faith, you have contentment, you worship, and none of the other stuff even matters in the big scheme of things. It doesn't even matter. Have you been changed? Are you looking for that? I guarantee you, I promise you, that if you come to believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to change you. Some of us in here, brothers and sisters, we're going into a new year. We got to get our focus. Get focused, right? I always have to have refocus checks. Constantly I'm doing this. Like, okay. Because I get sidetracked. I get sidetracked in sermons easy. Imagine what it's like on my daily life, right? I can chase rabbit trails. I got to get focused on what's important. What's important? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His birth. And I would encourage you today to get your focus on where it should be. It's eternity. We're going to have a worship song this morning to close the service. If you need to come this morning, I'll be more than happy to pray with you. If you need to publicly profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to come this morning. If you want me to pray for you about something, I will. If you just want to pray with somebody, you can. Here's the last thing I close with. Talk about Jesus this week. It's not about presence. It's not about the Chiefs destroying, or the Broncos destroying the Chiefs. I almost said that wrong. It's Christmas night, which is probably going to happen. I'm sorry, right? Even though that's going to be fun, that's not what it's about, okay? It's about Jesus. Get our focus back on where it's supposed to be, okay? Get our focus. I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's pray. If you need to come this morning, you can. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, today for these kids again, that they displayed what's written in your word so good this morning. I'm so thankful for them and our children's department, Savannah and Miss Brenda. They just did an amazing job. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that if there's people here that need to step out in faith and trust you, that today would be the day they wouldn't leave here without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior. Not just knowing your name and not just knowing about the story, but personally knowing you, putting their faith and trust in who you are and what you did. God, I pray as a church body that we're proclaiming that every single week in a lost and dying world. Our country, more than anything, needs you. They need you. Our community needs you, and we need you. And I pray that's what we're promoting, that's what we're talking about. And in God, we're worshiping you. We love you today, and I thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.